Welcome, welcome, welcome. You have tuned in to WWGH 107.1 FM Radio. The program you're listening to is called A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, whom I am. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device. Cell phones, iPhones, laptops, and computers. And once you get that app downloaded, search WWGH. If you would like to join in on the conversation, if you have any questions or comments, please call 740-36-383-9944. Believe it or not, I was getting ready to give you my personal phone number. Because I wrote it down on the paper, right? Okay. Now let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People. Starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-382-8552. And Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson. Location 582 Lee Street here in Marion, Ohio, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, and it is free produce market every second Saturday of every month from 12 p.m. until 2 p.m. Address again is Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. No appointment or pre-registration required. All you need to do is show up, provide your name and number of people in your household. You will be able to take advantage of that this Saturday, and the date is October the 13th. So if you know of someone in need of free produce, please let them know about the giveaway on Saturday, October the 13th at Logos Christian Ministries. We also have Inspect Ohio Home Inspection Company, LLC, with one call, with 25 years of experience. Telephone number 740-262-0939, and they do their best to work for you and your real estate needs. All right, I have a thought for you today from the desk of Linda. Success is going from failure to failure without a loss of enthusiasm. Can you remain enthusiastic if you keep going?
If I keep
failure,
going,
failure. Nothing's
it's hard
for me.
It's hard. The only thing I can do is keep my eyes on Jesus and know that he's in charge. So those failures were things I needed to fail on so that I can grow.
Right. And the voice you hear is Marie Harrington.
Yes, ma'am.
I love that Celine. I like that very much.
Thank you.
She's my guest today, and she has a ministry in the prisons.
Yes.
And how are you doing today, Marie?
I'm doing wonderful, Linda. And it was so good for you to call and invite me to join you today. My little blurb is that I am with Freedom Under the Eagle's Wings, my husband and I, okay. Chaplain Harrington, Rollin, and myself. We are Freedom Under the Eagle's Wings, and we are here in this town, and we have our mailing address is P.O. Box 401 here in Marion, Ohio.
Okay.
Our heart is the teaching of the truth through loving kindness, which is out of Psalms 25:5-7. We believe that we are here to minister to all who are prisoners in life's journey. That is the incarcerated by the state, the infirmed, and those that are housebound or in need of freedom. That could be mental freedom, any type of freedom.
Right.
So we believe that by displaying God's love and we reach out to these people, that we can teach how to utilize his power to guide them to recognize and achieve their ultimate potential to meet their needs and those of the community. And we try to help them do that, providing them that feeling of accomplishment.
Right.
That's our heart and our mission.
It's a ministry that is so important and so much needed. And I think is, I really appreciate what you're doing, your husband and yourself, as
Thank
far
you.
As not forgetting those who are locked up. Because a lot of people forget about them. You know, they're locked up. So if they had not have done that, they wouldn't be where they are today.
It takes a compassionate heart, which is the heart of Jesus.
Right.
To be able to step in and do something like this. I cannot tell you I would have known that I was going to do this 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord made a change after my husband started working in the prison system.
Right, right.
And we saw the needs. And for years, he had actually partook, without being a chaplain, in helping to lift people, correct people.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't always appreciate the correction.
I'm sure.
You know, in his position, his thought process has always been, let's teach them what should be within the rules so that when it's time for them to get out, they know how to follow rules.
Right.
And then they won't turn around and redo what they did and end up back in here, because it can be a revolving door.
That seems to be easy for it to become a revolving door.
And yes.
What do you think... why is it like that?
There's multiple reasons. Number one, those that are in there that are short term may not have enough time to learn their lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Those that are in there for a little longer than that, I believe that sometimes they learn the lesson, but they get institutionalized. I want to think of the right word, institutionalized. They've gotten into this comfort where, you know, I don't have to worry about where my next meal is going to come from. I might not have the best bed to lay my head on, but I got a bed to lay my head on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like picking a fight. I can pick a fight, and somebody else is going to have to protect me, because that's what the corrections officers do, and people don't realize that. They are actually in there to correct, but also they are there to help protect the men that are in the locks that they're in.
Right.
You know, and the men seem to think that they're just bullies, but they have a job that they have to do to save them, not themselves.
Right.
You know? So, and then you have the long-timers. And when they get released, they really don't even know what to do with themselves.
Because they've been institutionalized so long.
Extremely institutionalized. And there is a fear factor that grows up. They're anxious to get home.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I do if I haven't seen my spouse in, other than a visit, in almost 20 years? What do I do to have income when I leave here?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to take care of her, or, you know, whatever the situation is, because it happens male, female. But I've seen quite a bit of that in the way of fear. So by having a ministry in there that builds their self-confidence and the knowledge of who they are in Christ Jesus,
right,
and who he is in them,
mm-hmm.
it helps give them a new strength as they walk out the doors.
Oh, I'm sure. And they need that. Oh,
they need it terribly. They need it every day when they put their heads down on the pillow, especially if they had a disagreement with somebody.
Right.
You know,
right.
They have to have faith in God that he's got his hand on them.
Yes, 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 yes. Because if not, they wouldn't have any hope. Like you're saying, you know,
right.
institutionalized. Or I don't have to leave if I don't want to leave, you know, because what am I going to do when I get there? You know, who's going to accept me? Will I always have to pay for the wrong that I've done to society? You know, because a lot of people, they always see who you were and what
mm-hmm.
you did, and not the new person that you may have become. You
that
know,
is a big issue.
Yeah.
That's a big issue, Linda. Out of experience of other people that I know, I can tell you that when they have been released,
mm-hmm.
they have been refused positions because they were even incarcerated for the smallest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people can be incarcerated due to a misunderstanding between them and a spouse
right.
that got out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And they would never want to do that again. And if they've gone through all of the training and the positioning in the system, because I do have to give kudos to the state of Ohio system.
Okay.
They do have many, many programs available for the men to help them get an increased understanding of what they did and how they got there and what they can do to change.
Mm-hmm.
Not just programs that are put out by the faith-based community, but also those put out by the state themselves.
Okay.
And they have education. The guys can go through college while they're in there. They can get trained to be barbers, chefs. I mean, it is amazing what they can have in the way of a free education while they're in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that many of them, when they come out, want to get started in some kind of a life.
Yes.
And most of what is available to them is there are a few wonderful men in this county that I'm aware of, mm-hmm, that actually they're mostly doing, you know, building of homes, home improvements, things. And they actually do hire them. They keep an eye on them. They hire them.
Good.
I have actually used one or two of those people myself and had them, knowing that these were people that were incarcerated that,
right,
may or may not know me.
Right.
I had them come into my home to do the work that needed to be done. And I will say they did the work beautifully.
Good.
I was very happy with what they did.
Great.
But there's a fear that has to be overcome. And sometimes people find out, oh, that person was there, and then they don't want to use that contractor.
Right.
So it's not something they can advertise.
True.
You know,
true.
But it's very important that we realize that as long as your contractor is bonded, that, you know, your home is safe in their hands, and they're not going to let someone come in that's not going to watch over your belongings and handle them properly.
Right.
You know,
not only that, most people have insurance on their valuables in their home. It's all included in your insurance policy. It covers
it is, but it does.
House,
it never covers the connectivity to whatever those items, mm-hmm, are, which many of us are very connected by emotion to certain items. So, I mean, use your head. When you know that your home is going to be available to people that are not someone you know, lock your stuff up.
That's right.
That's just using common sense.
That's true. Lock it up.
You know, that's not saying, hey, I don't trust you.
Right.
It's let's take this out of the equation.
Right. And I don't even have to worry about that anymore.
We don't have to worry about it at all.
Right. You can come in and do what I need you to do. And when you're finished, you can leave.
I even actually left my house for 4 or 5 weeks while they had to do some very heavy work in the house. But that didn't mean I didn't pop in once in a while.
Right, of course. You would do that.
I had mail to get. I had to go in and use my computer, you know. So, yeah.
It's like I've learned this also. It's the people that you know. They'll come and steal from you before a stranger would.
Yeah, usually because they know where it's at.
They know where it's at. Absolutely. Had a friend do that to me.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad, but it does happen.
She knew where my money was.
Right.
And she had an opportunity to come to my home when I wasn't there. And my brothers and sisters allowed her to come in. And she said, oh, I left something upstairs in Linda's room.
Mm-hmm.
Went up there and got my money and left.
Yes.
You know, so it's not so much the person you don't know. It's the people that you allow to be close to you.
Right.
You know, they are the ones you need to watch.
I think we always have to be, unfortunately, in this world today, on guard.
Of course.
It's not like it was in the 50s and 60s. We're in 2018.
Oh, I remember.
Heading
the
to 2019.
Door. Screen door unlocked.
Doors unlocked. Windows open at night.
Yeah.
You never had to worry about picking up the telephone. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I know. It was a different time.
Yes,
I wish my children could have lived in that time.
At least experience what we did growing up, you know.
Right.
And how free. We were carefree.
Very carefree.
I remember we didn't even have a curfew.
Not only no curfews, we were able to walk down the street in the dead of night and not have to worry about anybody grabbing your purse.
So true.
I mean, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio.
Or drug addicts on the street.
Yes. It wasn't heard of. No. You might see a bum once in a while, but nothing past that. But, you know, back to the actual subject matter, because that is a matter all of its own. with the prisons, they are, Marion Corrections is so booked in their sanctuary because so many churches are partaking in programs.
Wow. Hands off to them.
And we have the Monday night program that is under Pastor Cola, which is their head chaplain right now. And on that particular program, the guys can come in any Monday night. We do praise, worship, prayer. And then the first Monday We host World Harvest out of Columbus.
Really?
Mr. Mark Youngkin comes in and his group. The second Monday, we have the Gideons come in.
Okay.
The third Monday, I myself actually do the preaching.
Okay.
The fourth Monday, usually Pastor Cola. If not he, it will be me or my husband. Mm-hmm. And on if there is a fifth Monday, we try to get a guest speaker. So we try to keep it interesting and mixed up. Mm-hmm. And there's more young people I want to reach out to. But it can be kind of hard sometimes. I'm spirit-filled. When we sing, I sing by the Spirit sometimes.
Right, right.
And when we do prayer, it's a community prayer, but yet sometimes, you know, you've got the laying on of hands and the like. So it's a different type of person that comes into our ministry. Some stay, some don't. Mm-hmm. Some are afraid of the Holy Spirit, and we're trying really hard to break that fear, to increase them with the knowledge of the strength of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So our average, now you got to imagine this, there's like, I think it used to be 3,000, maybe it's a little less now, maybe 2,800 inmates there. In one of our...
In the entire prison.
Yes, in the prison. Yes, between 2,800 and 3,200. I'm not sure what the count is now. My husband's now retired, so I'm not privy to all that anymore.
Right. I thought it was way more than that.
No, that's about what it was. That's about what it is. And the fellas, we get usually about anywhere from 30 to 60 in our services, depending on whether or not they've got other programs they have to go to. Mm-hmm. We're finding now that our biggest issue is they have so many programs available. Okay. And on top of that, ours is on the same day as AA.
Okay.
And some other programs that they run. But here again, I give them kudos for running those programs. So if the guys get out of the programs they're in early enough, mm-hmm. then they can, you know, come in and catch the service, even if it's only the tail end. And most of the guys that have been there with us for a long time, they try to do that. Mm-hmm. Or they'll come up and they'll say, hey, Mother Harrington, I'm sorry, but yeah, I'm not going to be here for a couple of weeks because I have to do this mm-hmm. required program.
Right.
That's absolutely fine. You know, when you get a chance, pop your head in, we'll pray for you.
Good.
You know.
Good.
So we also... Marion Corrections in the state of Ohio is having a special educational contact thing for those of us that go into the ministry. And that's coming up this October here.
Type of training?
It's a type of training and way to help the guys, learn to help the guys transition to being outdoors.
Great.
So
they need that so much.
And this will give us an opportunity to meet new ministers and chaplains from mm-hmm. the other prison systems so that hopefully as time progresses here, we will be going, we've been invited to three now,
okay.
but we'll begin expanding that ministry. So that's really what's been going on in the prison ministry here that I can honestly say this is what I've been involved in. My husband and I have also given two specials for the guys last Christmas.
Okay.
We did a special with all Christmas music, and we purchased cookies, coffee, drinks mm-hmm. to try to give them a little something special.
Right.
I did little goodie bags for them, and I have to pass everything through the proper channels, you know. So we had about 120 people attend that. And then at the end of summer, these are always tough. At the end of summer, I had another one, and it was a summer fun day. And it was indoors, and I did popcorn, like a Kool-Aid. We had coffee, and then we had cake. Mm-hmm. That got out of hand. I was supposed to have 100. I ended up with 168.
Oh, really?
So the Lord had to do the fishes and the loaves thing for me. But I showed a special program. And it was a David Pendleton, who is a ventriloquist.
Oh.
And he has got a terrific little show, and I had it on DVD to show them. But it was funny, Linda. The reason I had 168 men is they had some... amazing word go about the person saying I was showing the Avengers movie, the new Avengers movie. First thing I did when I heard that, besides laugh, was said, took the mic and said, excuse me, gentlemen, if anybody's here to see the Avenger movie, you are going to be sadly disappointed. But if you want to just have a good time, you're welcome to stay.
Right, right.
I'll tell you, we used every chair available to us in their sanctuary.
Oh, good.
So, and God did provide. We had a way to keep them all happy with something. Hmm. So, and they got to show the program, and in that program, there is an altar call. And so I believe that we touched some lives, because some of the people that came to that program now attend our Monday nights. So that's all I wanted to do. Show them there's something else out there, that God loves them and people love them.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And everyone's not here to remind them of what they did.
That's right.
You know.
And, you know, truly, I know that there's a type of preaching.
Oh, yeah.
That is harsh and hard and hellbound.
Oh, yeah. I hear it every Sunday.
And there are times where it's a necessity.
Yeah.
Because people have to know, they have to behave.
Yeah.
They have to follow the rules. But there's also a way of teaching the love of God.
Absolutely. What would we
with
do
those
about
rules.
It? Yes.
With
yes.
the rules.
Yes.
You always have to, you know, incorporate. Now, remember, you know, this is God's gift to you, but you have to follow what he's mm-hmm. telling you to do.
Yes.
So trying to open ears, eyes, hearts, minds to the Spirit for guidance.
Yes.
Is big. It's big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I really do.
And my husband and I, we're doing this totally on our own. Our ministry is directly out of our home, so the P.O. box is what we use for our address. But all funding comes from us.
Okay.
And it can be difficult.
I'm sure.
You know, but God, I'm sure,
right?
Is providing in one way or the other and is blessing us in other ways. So as long as we can continue on this path, we will do so.
Right. God makes a way. When I went into the schools with the Child's Evangelism Fellowship mm-hmm. Program, and we were doing our own snacks.
Right.
You know, on limited income.
Right.
You know, and being disabled, but still out there for the Lord and trying to teach the young people. You don't even realize you never go short.
Right.
You know, you never go short, even though you're paying your tithes or mm-hmm. give offerings to the church. It was always there. It's like
amazing.
You don't even think where it's coming from, you know. And I remember when I first got my first tally of what I had contributed to the church in a year, and I'm thinking, really?
Yeah. I hear you.
Where'd all that come from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't even miss it.
Yeah.
You know, didn't even miss it. And I, after looking at it, I'm thinking, well, why didn't I miss that? I could have done this with that money,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, but. He has a way of making it like no big deal.
That's right.
I got you, you know.
In the palm of his hand.
My program, you know, I'm doing this. I just need you to be the vessel.
You know, it's kind of funny. We went to a conference a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the speakers made such a terrific point. He said, you understand, God is in control. He is not there for you to control.
Mm-mm.
He will control you. So surrender. Surrender. If you want the best of what God's got for you,
yes.
Surrender.
Absolutely. Don't go down crying uncle, right? Remember that?
Yeah.
What was that? Tug of war with the wrist and arm, you know?
Yeah.
Uncle, cry, you know? And a lot of times we go down like that.
Yeah, some of us have to. Well, that's why, you know, even... good point, like incarcerated men
mm-hmm.
or women, they're in there. It's like, now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I need something. I need somebody. My family's angry at me. They're not going to come in.
Oh.
They're not talking to me. What am I going to do? How am I going to keep in touch? And all I can tell them is I have this knowledge
mm-hmm.
of a man called Jesus.
That's right. That's right.
And his Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So if you step up and accept him,
right.
He's already knowing that you're going to come calling.
Yes, he is.
He's known what you were going to do from the beginning of time.
That's right.
So that's why I don't believe in pounding on their heads or beating on them. I should take this time also to say, though, if someone would write me a note about someone who is incarcerated, I will not and cannot pass a note. I will not do anything that will
jeopardize
our ministry.
Right.
And people need to be very much aware of that.
Okay.
I have rules, not just my own, but rules from the prison system. As much as I would love to be able to go and knock on someone's door and say, so-and-so wanted me to let you know they're okay, mm-hmm. I can't do it.
No. And that's asking too much anyway.
It is, because you do get involved in a lot of people's lives. But I don't mind the involvement in life if I'm making a difference to someone.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So above and beyond the prison ministry, though, if someone has a family member who needs someone to come and visit them in a nursing home,
okay,
I am willing to do that.
Okay.
I am willing to do that.
Okay.
And they can send me that information through the P.O. Box 401 here in Marion.
Okay.
And those are the types of things that I'm starting to branch out in. And being chaplains, we are looking into signing up with the hospitals and other organizations, but most of those positions in our city are full.
Okay, so they have people
yes.
who are working in that
capacity.
Yes.
For the police, for the fire, you know, for the city. They have people in those capacities.
That's good.
It is wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, and I concentrate my time primarily in the prisons.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of people are hesitant about going.
When...
I'm serious. Now, you know that's true, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm very, very aware. When first time I ever walked into a prison, my husband was actually still being trained. And that was before NCCI here in town became a private prison. It was still state-owned.
Okay.
And it was there for his graduation. The first time you walk in and you hear those doors locked behind you,
mm-hmm.
and you turn around and you see nothing but inmates, and you don't yet know what I now know about the God that covers me.
Right.
It can be very intimidating. Even for the visitors that have to go through the first set of doors with the clunk clunk till they get to the visiting room, it can be very intimidating.
Right.
But I have the knowledge that by the grace of God, I get to go home every night, so I'm cool.
Yes.
You know, and if anything ever did happen while I was in there, I would be protected.
Yes. That's true.
I would be protected.
Yes.
So those are the things, you know, that I tend to concentrate on. And I think the first time I ever went into the prison for basic ministry, I went in just to see one of their Christmas shows. And it was fabulous.
Look at where you are now.
Yeah. Well, you know me. You know I sing because I love to sing.
Uh-huh.
So they were singing the Christmas carols, and I was sitting next to the chaplain. Next thing I knew, the chaplain said, "I want you in here."
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And that's how I started.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So you, through your husband working there and volunteering for different things, God gave your heart.
He gave my heart, yes.
To these prisoners.
I call them my guys.
Mm-hmm.
To me, they're no different than if I was a pastor in a church.
Right.
And they
That's
were
your
my
congregation.
They're my congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's powerful. Nothing's too hard for God.
Nothing's too hard for God. Nothing.
Like you said, you would have never thought that.
I'd have never thought it in a million years. And I'd have never thought in a million years that he would use me to heal some people,
right,
to lay hands and actually see with my own eyes things change.
Right.
And that to me is amazing. And then people, please understand, that is not a brag. This is total amazement.
Right, so you're amazed yourself.
I am amazed myself. But when you let God work through you,
yes, absolutely,
and give him all the glory,
yes,
He will do things you never, ever imagined.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Innumerable. Not just one thing.
Oh, no.
Or two or three things.
Consistent.
But your entire life.
I mean,
he's done miracles.
Imagine praying with people because they have a member at home that is extremely ill. Mm-hmm. And you pray with them and almost instantaneously, not in all cases, but right. almost, there's a healing notification.
Mm-hmm. Praise
you know,
report.
A
yes.
praise report. Yes. A testimony.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we've seen people. Well, I hope I'm not stepping on toes, but this is the way the Lord says. People who are homosexuals mm-hmm. change their way of life
yeah.
because God stepped in.
Yes.
And he let them know who they truly were.
Mm, in him.
And as long as they surrender
right.
to the knowledge who they are in Christ and that Christ has come into them and they live that, they can hang on to the truth of life. And then they are saved according to the word.
Right.
So that's, you know, how we handle it, you know.
Hmm.
People who are murderers.
Yeah.
They may have murdered, you know. I don't ask anybody what they've done. I don't want to know. But
that's
I do know.
Smart.
I do know. I've had some come to me and think that I was their confessor. It's like, you go directly over that altar and you give it to Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
But I have been told what some of these people have done.
Yes.
And I am thankful, would be the right word, that God never changed my opinion of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're still his children.
Yeah, that does take God.
They are, each one is his child.
Yes.
So my position is I am there to serve his children as he serves us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. That has to be God for you not to be judgmental, because even when we think about sins and what we may have committed ourselves or our neighbors may have committed, we think, well, you know, they killed so-and-so. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or they stole, you know, from the other neighbors that were here, or their child is bullying, you know. And we form opinions. Not only that, likes and dislikes. Because
right.
what people have done, you know.
Right. And it's very difficult to look at someone and think they could change.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
That's true.
One person, I went to a World Harvest conference, one of his camp meetings last year, I think it was.
Rod Parsley, right?
Yeah, Rod mm-hmm. Parsley. And I went to one of his camp meetings. And I'm sitting in the back there, and I'm singing praises, and Roland was with me, and all of a sudden this fella stands up, and he turns around, looks at me, goes, "Mother Harrington, I knew that had to be you. I prayed that I would see you here." Well, I didn't normally go to Rob Parsley's events.
Right.
But I prayed you'd be here. I said, "Really?" He says, "Yeah, because I couldn't wait to tell you." He says, "I've gotten my ministry license. I have a special ministry to help men that are coming out of incarceration." And he's telling me all these things, and he wants to be in touch with me. Well, he's not off paper yet.
Right,
what that
right.
means, of course, is that he's still on a probation paper.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he can go forward with his life. But I, because my husband was still working there, could not have contact.
Yeah. Okay.
So, that doesn't mean we turn our backs on them when they speak to us. That just means I cannot have written contact, and
right.
I cannot give you my phone number.
Okay.
So I had to explain that to him, which broke my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm sure he understood that.
Yes, he did. He
right.
did understand it. But, you know, I mean, my hope is I get to see him again one time when I go up there, because I'd like to know more about what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
And a couple of the other fellows have now become ministers of the word that have now been released
mm-hmm.
and sent to other parts of the country. And one fellow came up to me the other day and shared a note and a picture of one of the fellows that he received
mm-hmm.
because he knew that I was involved with, you know, helping him maintain what he needed to maintain.
Right.
And he asked him to tell me thank you and show me his picture. It was amazing. You wouldn't have even known it was the same man.
Right, right.
Never would have known it. You know, and
because God, He changes people
from the inside out.
From the inside out.
And it is the devil that was in the inside that caused the sin that put them where they're at.
That's true.
So if we can get them to release those demons that have been active within them,
yes,
and accept the love of Christ Jesus in its place and the Holy Spirit's infilling, then they can be completely renewed, and their attitude begins to change, their speech begins to change, the look on their face begins to change, their eyes begins to shine.
Yes.
It's the most amazing experience. It is. It's amazing. I love it.
I bet you wouldn't trade that spot God has put you in for nothing, would you?
I don't think I would. I don't think I would. If I really felt any different than that, I wouldn't be looking at getting into other institutions, you know.
Right.
Actually, I'm hoping to sometime get into the children's institutions as well. There I'll be grandma.
Yes, yes.
Or great-grandma.
They need it too. I mean, there's just so much need out there for people. Mm-hmm. Men, women, boys, girls, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers. I mean, we're all not sick, but some of us are real sick.
Yes.
And we need so much help.
And people don't even realize that sometimes their family members at home, including themselves possibly, could be bound by something that has affected their lives. Mm-hmm. And it brings on sadness, unhappiness.
Depression.
Great depression.
How people are killing themselves because they're in depression. They're so depressed.
Yes. And the only way that that can be overcome truthfully, it's not medications.
No.
It's not drugs.
No.
It's not alcohol. What your body is craving from the time you were born is a relationship with Christ Jesus. And people who want to get to know who Christ is, I know you have a church that they can attend.
Mm-hmm.
I have a church I attend, which
Many
is called The Gathering Place,
yes.
Logos Ministries,
right.
May's Temple,
right.
King's Temple,
mm-hmm.
the Assemblies of God. I can think of, we have like 120 churches in this town.
The Nazarene
Church downtown, The Bee, Harvest.
Yes.
Trinity Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Is Harvest open?
Well, someone told me Harvest was moved, but they were still around, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
So all of these things, you know, all these different churches, find
ministers,
one that fits you. Not every minister and not every church will fit you or your need.
That's true.
But go and check them out until you find the one that will help heal your wounds.
Yes. And your spirit will know immediately.
Yes.
When you're in the right place.
Yes, it will.
That God wants you in. A lot of people try to make themselves fit into a church because maybe someone said, well, come and join our church. First of all, you have to test the spirits.
Yes.
Your spirit will let you know, okay, well, I don't really like that, so go try another church. Just don't give up.
Right. Well, I did belong to Mount Zion years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I also went to Victory Center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've been to several churches in town.
Right.
And to St. Mary's Catholic Church because I was raised Catholic.
Right.
But when I walked into my particular church that I attend now, and I've been there for about 9 years now, I just was told by the Lord immediately, this is where you're going to be.
Right.
And even though people have asked me to leave or, you know, don't you want to try this? Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to start your own church? No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because God said, this is my church to sit in.
That's your
so
home.
This is my home.
Mm-hmm.
This is my home base. And I am there to lift up my pastors, Rowan and McGon Anderson. I'm there to back them however I can.
Right.
And they pray over us and fill us and help us stay strong.
Yes, yes. You're never hungry.
You're never hungry
when you're being fed.
Never hungry when you're being fed.
Because if I wasn't where I was, I would be where you are.
Right.
I'm serious as far as churches around town. You know,
right.
That would be my next step. And I do visit every
now and
then.
Oh, yeah, you do. I know.
Mm-hmm. I do. Yeah. I enjoy it, you know. When my daughter first moved to Wooster, Ohio, which was all mine, in the late 90s, she was affiliated with the Four Square Ministry, and we were there, and there's just no holds barred, and we, Holy Spirit, jumping around, singing our praises, clapping our hands, being baptized in the name of Jesus, all that.
Yep.
All that.
Yep, and it's all back.
Yes, all that.
It's all back.
Yeah.
We're so jumping into the book of Acts and getting ready to watch the miracles pop and the fire of the Lord show up in that place. I'm telling you, we are so ready for it.
Yes.
And
yes.
I believe it's truly going to happen.
Oh, I do too, because, you know, we're in the day.
We are in the day and the hour, yes, ma'am.
Where we've never been closer to the return of Christ.
And I'm so proud to say that my pastor also partakes in a special program at MCI.
Okay.
He goes in on one Friday a month.
Okay.
And because of our involvement there, ours and his, he is going to be doing the speaking at one of the events coming up. I think it's like October 20th, 19th, 20th, 21st, something like that. They're having a revival at the prison.
All right.
Now, I've been calling for revival for a long time. We've had a couple revival meetings in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of fizzle after a while, like most town revivals do.
Oh, yeah.
We had that happen here, if you recall, when we were all at the fairgrounds a couple years ago when the fella came from New York with Truce.
Yes, yep.
Okay, well, I like to look for a renewal. I want to see our churches renewed, our Christian faith renewed and strengthened.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have a job to do in this time.
Oh, you better believe it. And it's a big job.
Right. And it's not just in a prison.
We have to be armed and dangerous. We just can't be pity paddling around. And
that's right.
Scared of this and afraid of that. We have to be armed and dangerous so we could tread the waters for Christ. And I find that a lot of people, they shrink away from responsibility. The Great Commission was to go out.
That's right.
To the hedges and the byways and compel them to come in. Compel means beg them.
Right.
beg them
to come.
Them. Yes.
Come join us.
Yes.
Come. Let us help solve your problems.
That's so strong. And
that doesn't mean
word.
We're going to hand you money,
but
we're going to hand you strength in the Lord.
Right. Compel them to come in. And when I looked up compel, it's like beg them, plead with them. You know,
right.
It's like, wow, that is so strong. The Great
right.
Commission is so strong.
It is. And if anybody has accepted Christ Jesus into their lives, they're automatically ministers. They just don't realize it. They don't realize it.
Right.
Because in our world today, it is set up that you have to have this paper, this title.
But no.
But in the word of the Lord, he just says we are all ministers.
Yes.
And he has created such a way that when he said, I have done these things, but even greater things will be done. That was by us.
Yes.
And by those other Christians out there that aren't doing anything. You're included in this equation.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Don't shrink away.
Yes.
Talk to God. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Father and let him show you what it is you're supposed to be doing.
Right, right.
Doing for him.
Absolutely. Boy, our time is gone. It goes so fast.
I
we're
know.
Having fun. But I'm so glad you could come and spend some time with me today and to our listeners. And Marie Celine Harrington has a ministry out at MCI.
At Marion Corrections is where we're ministering now, yes.
Her and her husband, and she just came to share some of the good things that are going on out there. And we thank God for you.
Well, thank you. I thank God for just allowing me to live and breathe and get up every morning and do what it is he has me do, even if it's boldness in the middle of a shopping mall.
That too. Well, thank you. And you have been listening to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We will be on tomorrow from 4:15 until 5 o'clock. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The voices you want to hear. From Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. what is something, because it's years later now, that would have been a huge show at the time, like a Dr. Quinn, like a David Letterman? You okay? Okay.
Yeah.
The chair buckled over there. Okay. For people listening, you know, something that came in that would have been huge.
A huge...
Lost me at the time. A huge show that he did not do. Because
of something.
Because he thought, you know, it's just not me. I have to go in a second.
Yes, there is. Now, our chair keeper over there tells us we're almost up out of time.
I just about didn't survive that. Oh, my goodness.
but we have to. We didn't. That's the question. You don't know it, evidently,
yeah.
Right?
I'd like to have a prize. I'm hungry.
Oh,
you're hungry? Well, there's donuts. There's a whole box of...
No.
There's orange juice. There's coffee.
No. I got a friend now.
There's
I
bring her over. There's a T-bone steak and...
Charlie, you know what you're going to get. Five fingers.
Well... We can give you a delivery to take out to your friend, and we have the question, so you don't know it, right? You don't know. But I wish people would give them a really big hint so they'll call it.
Let's see. It's not Sandusky.
Yes, it is.
Holy
Uh-oh.
Okay, you win a prize.
Is there a seven-second delay around here?
No, you're right. Yeah.
She won a prize.
Didn't you ever notice when you go to Cedar Point, you pass a company that says Crayola on it? Or crayon?
Oh,
American Crayon Company?
Four?
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, I didn't mean to say.
Anything can happen on WWGH Radio, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh.com.